listener production.
A bonus.
Bonus
episode.
The big bonus episode.
Bonus means extra.
Matt and Alex.
Bonus
episode.
Look at this. It's actually our final special Saturday episode, thanks to NIB. And boy, it's a doozy, Matt O'Connor. We've got an interview later on with a punter who has taken a very, very long walk for health. And so we're going to be checking in with him later on, I've got to tell you. Pretty inspiring stuff.
Yeah, he's a good soul with sore souls, undoubtedly.
And he walked solo as well. But in the meantime, Matt, we're getting excited by health with our own little conversation. And I was sort of realizing the way you think about your own health, there's a few quirks when it comes to health I want to ask you about. So that's coming up in a moment with Matt and Alex, All Day Breakfast. Thanks to NIB.
Let's get this show on the road.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Matt and Alex, All Day Breakfast.
Matt, I was realizing the other day that, like, we all want to be healthy, right?
Mm.
And so you sort of pick up things over the years that you do or don't do in order to be healthy, okay?
Do you know, this may not be related, but it really reminds me of this meme, you know, or like it's like a sort of joke tweet where it says, like, me lying in bed with a blocked nose, like thinking about all the times I took being able to breathe for granted.
Yeah.
And it's so true. Like you just don't think how good having good health is until suddenly your nose is blocked. You're like, God damn it. This is the worst.
If you don't have a cold right now, just take a moment, close your eyes, breathe in. Just go, yeah, health is good.
God, it's nice to be able to do that.
But I was thinking, I am relatively healthy at the moment, but I was thinking, I was doing something, I realized, like, I just do this automatically, right? And it's because of something my dad would have said to me when I would have been 5 or 6, right? And it was when I drink water right from the tap, okay? Just make sure it's, you know, cold water, because the hot water that you heat up, it's heated up with copper pipes, and the water goes through the pipes and it can take trace amounts of the copper in the water when you drink the hot water. So, like, if I'm filling up the kettle, you know, and I've seen people fill up the kettle with hot water before.
I'm like,
you fill it up with cold water, then you heat it up in the kettle, because I'm like, I don't want the hot water in my mouth because of that thing. Then I thought, like, I've been doing that for years to just, you know, try and be healthy. But then also over the weekend, I just ate a whole large pepperoni pizza by myself because I couldn't be bothered cooking. And I'm like, well, that's me doing something that's probably not great for my health. And here I am just being really pedantic about this thing that I actually don't have any evidence that it's even good for you whatsoever. So I'm just wondering, have you got any little small things that you do or don't do that you've picked up over the years that if you really thought about it, it's like, hang on, why do I do that for my health again?
Well, I mean, it's not for my health, but I still do eat chips with only my index and middle fingers.
Doesn't make it healthier.
No, but have I talked about this?
Yeah,
because I don't want to touch the wish chip with my thumb.
Yeah, superstition.
Do you know, okay, Belinda and I have had big arguments, not arguments, but conversations about whether you should wash fruit or not.
Yeah, I washed my apples when I got them home from the shop recently,
And I did a show that's going to be on TV a little bit later on, and it was talking about male fertility, and part of the things that it was looking into is basically the forever plastics that are around.
Oh, they're everywhere.
These sort of chemicals that are in, you know, the water bottles and the packaging and stuff that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Forever chemicals. Mm-hmm. They show up in all your food. They end up sort of embedding themselves in your food and drink and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so when the sort of scientist on the show was sort of detailing all of this, then the question came up, I was like, so does that mean I should wash my blueberries? And the guy, he was like, oh my God, yes. You have no idea.
Really?
What stuff they're putting on all these things. Absolutely wash your blueberries. And I was like, God damn it, I've just lost a years-long argument that I've had with Belinda over whether it's important to wash fruit or not.
That's so interesting because I just assume the government, I don't know what department, but I just assume the government would go, if it's bad, then they wouldn't be having it. You know what I mean? I just assume that it would be safe to eat. Like washing your lettuce. Like it says on the packet now, like
it's washed and ready to eat.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Is it?
Totally. Do you know what happens? I probably can't say too much about what actually happens in the show, but even like there was one experiment we did, you'll see this, where you dip a can, like a soft drink can or a beer can, in basically some sort of acid, like hydrochloric acid.
Yeah.
And it eats away all the aluminium. And what's left is this like plastic sack that's basically lines every single can.
An internal bit of an aluminium can.
Yeah, to make so that the whole internal area of an aluminium can is this thin plastic lining. And the guy was like, I mean, that's seeping in, those plastics are seeping into your drink. And I got to tell you, Daiso, I've had a few cans in my time, okay?
Oh, no.
I don't know what sort of forever chemicals are floating around my system.
And also, what's the go with parabens? Never heard of them. Suddenly, every shampoo has no parabens. I'm like, well, what parabens were they doing using in the past?
Absolutely. Got to go paraben-free, mate.
Yeah, but what is a paraben?
I don't know. It sounds like a pet.
But like, if I was making a product, I think I'd just make up something that wasn't in it, and I'd just say it's the only one with no Shawshanks, and everyone's like, "Wait, what's that?" It's like, "Nah, ours doesn't have anything in it."
You don't know what Shawshanks
are? Does everyone else
are?
Put in their packaging no Shawshank? Whoa, doesn't say that they don't have it in there. Be very careful when purchasing anything that doesn't explicitly say no Shawshanks.
So, our podcast today actually is completely Shawshank free. Very yes. excited to deliver this to you. And our chat with our next guest is also, can guarantee there's no forever chemicals, no parabens, no Shawshanks, but there is lots of inspo, right? Lots of inspiration.
Yeah, we're going from a few worrying health stories to an absolutely inspiring one. That's up next on Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast. All right, Matt, it's time to talk to a listener who has an extremely exciting health journey. And I got to tell you, as far as journeys go, this is one of the longest and highest that we have had. It's a pleasure to talk to right now, Dean. G'day, Dean.
G'day, guys. How are you going today?
Well, we're good. Thanks, Dean. We are pretty inspired by what you managed to achieve over the course of 21 days. Do you want to tell us what you decided to embark upon?
Yes, well, being getting older, a lot of people, you know, say they're getting older, can't do this, can't do that. And I thought, you know what, I need to do something to inspire people and might go on a little bit of a walk. So I'm 53 years old, so I didn't want to run or anything like that. But
didn't want to do a Brockman across the country.
No.
I heard about his feet at the end of it. That was brutal.
Yes. He's half my age, so I just thought I'd go. And I also want to inspire young people, you know, to strive to the highest peaks in life. So I thought I might just walk to Australia's highest peak. And I thought, well, I've got to walk from somewhere. And I live up on the north. I was living up on the north coast at the time in Terrigal. And I thought, well, here, I live at sea level. Maybe I'll just walk from sea level to Australia's highest peak. And then, you know, a lot of people laughed and joked and said, yeah, that won't happen, that won't happen. And that inspired me even more. So I started mapping out the course, worked out what I'd have to walk a day and started, you know, thinking, you know, this is going to be a great challenge, but there's only one way I'm going to find out if I do it. So,
firstly, Dean, let's talk about this route because that's Terrigal's north of Sydney. Kosciuszko's down Canberra direction.
Yes.
Did you go over the Brit? Like, do you cut through the middle or do you have to just walk around Sydney?
Yeah. No, I come down through the highways and that, and then come down through the main city of Sydney, walked across the Harbour Bridge.
Oh, my God.
And then headed out down towards the Shire, and then cut through the Shire, and then I headed down through the National Park and then ended up down near Albion Park where I cut inland, and then I went inland, went to towns like Bungendore, Robinson, Bungendore, headed towards Goulburn, Marillion, then down to Goulburn, and then I wanted to stay off the highway, so then I cut back across and went down through some towns and come out at the back of Queanbeyan. So, and then went through Queanbeyan, Canberra, And then I was on the Monaro Highway.
It only took 21 days.
No, yeah, Dean, look, I'm doing the maths here, okay? So I've just chucked it into Google. Terrible yep. Beach to Mount Kosciuszko, it says 575 kilometres, okay? If you put it on the walk setting, it says it takes about 131 hours of walking. Divide that by 21, you've got about 6.5 hours of walking per day. Does that sound about right?
Well, actually, it does, actually, because I averaged about 5 and a half Ks an hour. And on average, I was doing about 35 Ks a day. So
that's good pace.
Sort of work it up.
So, I love beating what Maps says it'll take you as well.
Well, actually, so. I was just going to say, just for the record, I walk a little bit faster than Google Maps tells me. So.
Good, mate. Love doing that. And I love doing that on that. It says, that'll be 17-minute walk. And I'm like, as if, watch and this. And then Dino's gone, oh, yeah, that is going to take 120 hours. Hold my beer. Here we go. Let's do it.
Yeah, hold me beer. I'll be right back.
So, I mean, let's talk about the footwear. What did you sort of rock to get this going? I mean, surely you must have been bleeding from the soles.
You're sort of right, but I end up having a coffee with a guy called Pat Farmer, who's covered a fair few kilometres over the years, the old marathon runner, Olympic runner as well. And he just did share some great tips. Like he said, change your shoes out every day. So take 2 or 3 pairs and don't wear the same shoes because you get different pressure points.
Oh, okay.
You did kind of mention as well, whilst you're doing this walk, which obviously, you know, good getting the heart rate up, good for the physical health, you paired with a organisation who takes care of mental health as well. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so well, I decided to go with the charity Headspace, which is mental health for the young. So they average like teenagers, and then into young adults in their 20s. And I got 2 boys who are 17 and 19, so they're right in that area at the moment, and they're going great guns. They don't have any sort of issues and things like that. But I just wanted to also let them know when things come up, there's help out there and organisations that help these, you know, young people that might be struggling with growing up in today's society. So I got Headspace on board and raised some money along the way.
Was there a turning point for you that made you do this? Because, I mean, you know, most people don't just decide one day they're going to do it. Was there an event that took place where you thought, you know what, I've just got to do this?
Well, no, look, to be honest, no, there wasn't. I've always just given back to the community. You know, I used to do a little Kick for Kids event, which was a rugby league event. I did that for 10 or 12 years, just raising money for kids. It's just something I like doing. I've been very fortunate. A lot of people go out and raise money or start a charity when something happens to them and they want to put back in. But I just think, well, I don't need a reason. I just like helping out. I like helping others and I like being out in the community. So it's just a different concept and something different that I thought I could do. And without sort of talking it up, I've struggled over the years because, like, I'm not an ex-athlete, I'm not a celebrity or someone well-known, so it's very hard to get corporate sponsorship and, you know, behind you and things like that. So most of the money I've raised over the years has just been out of people's back pockets. I mean, I had no support van that went with me. Mm-hmm. You know, you see a lot of these celebrities and ex-footballers out walking, and what's behind them? You know, the coffee van and the hot dog van, and you know, they've got all these support things.
Just a little massage on demand as you're going along.
Exactly. Now, we'll give my partner a quick plug, Kristen. She couldn't take the 3 weeks off work to support me the whole way, but every time she had a spare few hours, she'd duck down in the car, resupply me with stuff, maybe a little quick foot massage, and then she might stay overnight. But then she was up at 5 o'clock the next morning driving back to work and stuff like that. So she was the angel on my shoulders, but, you know, there was no corporate support or anything like that. I stayed in very cheap local country pubs and Airbnbs and stuff like that, or anything I could find along the way.
That's just amazing, Dean. Oh, yeah, and so 21 great. Days, you went over 650 kilometres, Terrigal Beach, you get to the top of Mount Kosciuszko. What was that feeling like, and what did you do to celebrate once you hit the highest peak in the land?
Well, look, I'm not much of a drinker, but I do like a beer, and I think it was the second last night we're in Jindabyne. And sure enough, there's a brewery there, Mount Kosciuszko. And I said to the publican, I need a couple of those bottles to take with me to the top of the mountain. And I told him the story, and he says, mate, you can take as many as you want, but I don't know how many you can carry up there. So I had some friends and family come down for the last day, which was really nice, but they still caught the chairlift up. I walked up from Threadbow Village. I didn't take the chairlift. I wasn't going to go that far and take the chairlift halfway.
No. I will admit, if you've got that far, you may as well walk it.
I did take the chairlift down, but I definitely did not take it up. So they left a couple of hours after me and gave me time to walk up that leg. And actually that leg and taking it all in, knowing it was the last day, was pretty special. Kristen, my partner, walked up there. I had a mate, he did the track up, not the chairlift. So that was pretty good. And it was quite emotional at the top. You know, a lot of people up there, and they're probably looking at me a bit funny because, you know, they've just driven to Threadbare, caught the chairlift up and done the little last 5K walk along the boardwalk. And I'm up there with tears in my eyes going, I've done it, I've done it. People cheering me. They're probably going, what's this guy on? But anyway, one guy up there, he asked what was going on. I told him and he couldn't believe it. And he's reached in his pocket and grabbed out $100 cash. And he said, put this in your kitty. So,
that's great.
Yeah, a little some pretty genuine people along the way. Yeah, for sure.
What a final donation to Headspace. You're an amazing bloke, Dean. Good on you for getting out there and doing it. Congratulations on, yeah, thinking about your health and striving for the highest peaks. It's absolutely incredible. And we also thank you for coming on a little special all-day breakfast episode to tell us all about it.
No, I appreciate your time too and just getting my story out there and hopefully inspiring others to get out and live life.
Absolutely. One final question, yes. Dean. Last person I saw do something like this, Forrest Gump, grew a massive beard on his journey.
Yes.
What was the facial hair situation like on the walk?
Well, it's a very, very good question because I've always been that clean-shaved guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm there on the firefighters, so we have to stay clean-shaved for our masks that go on our face. That's why a lot of firefighters have moustache. The mask comes down your jaw but not across your lips. So, so I let it go, and at 53, I've got all my hair, and I've still got blonde hair, no greys, and you wouldn't believe it. The beard was probably 98% grey.
Oh, really? A bit of a beard investigation.
A bit of thread bow on your chin there, mate.
Funniest look. My mother's old school is like, oh, why aren't you shaving on your trip? It's like, Mum, I don't think Mum actually grasped what I was actually doing. So she was just more worried why I wasn't shaving for 3 weeks.
Yeah, goodness. Well, you've done very, very well, Dean. Yeah, and thanks, we appreciate it, and we'll chat to you next time.
Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks a lot, team.
And with that, it brings to the end our little run of special bonus episodes. Thanks to NIB. Been making health exciting for a few weeks now, and it's been awesome, Matt.
Yeah, it's been so much fun hearing your stories, sharing our stories, and all together just getting excited about health. Thanks to NIB for joining us. Thank you to you for joining us. And we'll be back on Monday for another awesome Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
See you then.